Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Let's bring on Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. I'm guessing he's been checking Twitter all morning, just like we have, and yeah. I just saw the story that popped up on his, like we've been talking about.
Hey, Mike, anything going on?
No, nothing, nothing, man. I don't know why you guys even wanted me on today. Why don't you talk about the Marlins or something?
Oh, actually...
That's what we brought you on for. That's not it?
It's gotten real political around here, and we've had people that want us fired and everybody else fired for our own agenda. Oh, no, it's gotten just
Wait, what's your agenda?
I read text messages, so I should be fired. That's what I was
told. We read text messages and we only read the ones that we think are our beliefs and everything else. With, of course, the president just came out and blasted the players, as you have up on Pro Football Talk. Listen, we're the lead story, and it's not football. It's two of our wide receivers kneeled last night. We'll just get right to it. Mike, does something get worked out, or do they just continue to do the Dolphins and everybody else continue to let these guys kneel, or do you think we get something worked out?
Well, here's what we have to remember. We have to remember how we got to this point. We got to this point because the NFL created an opportunity for players to protest during the anthem. And 2 years ago, when Colin Kaepernick was first spotted sitting during the anthem prior to a preseason game for the 49ers, the NFL said players are required to be on the sideline. They are encouraged to stand, but that is not required. And that right to protest has been reiterated on multiple occasions by the NFL ever since then. It was in May when the NFL tried to fashion what some reporters employed by the NFL tried to call a compromise. It wasn't a compromise because the players weren't involved. The compromise among the owners was that players will be present on the sideline and standing, and if they're inclined to protest, they go to the locker room. What happened since then, the NFLPA filed a grievance, and the grievance attacks the failure of the NFL to bargain and negotiate with the union over this change to the work rules. And as part of the negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA to resolve that grievance, the NFL has said, you know what, we're not going to punish any players who protest during the anthem. Although I think the Dolphins and the Eagles, because they had players protest as well, could be facing a fine from the league. The teams can't turn around and punish the players. So that's where we are right now. The players still have the right to protest, even though they're violating the policy. The NFL will not take action against them. The broader play is to work this out. A couple of weeks ago, I got the impression that the union may be inclined to agree on behalf of all players that they'll stand for the anthem in a way to just take this off of the desk of the president. Even though it will upset many players, it will, for the most part, end the protests. It should end the protests. And if the players do protest under that climate, they will be subject to punishment. That may be where it's headed. The question is, what does the union get in return for giving up the right to protest?
You and I have talked about that for weeks now, and what it might take to get that deal done.
You know what, though? You know what, Joe? There's a chance that it may not take as much as I thought. There's a chance that the union, recognizing that there's a win-win here, that it's in their interest long-term to stop the bleeding and to remove that button that the president has on his desk. And really, as I said on PFT Live today, if there's any button he's going to press, I'd prefer it be that one than the alternative, if you know what I mean. But I think the union may say, we're not going to hold you hostage over this. We're going to do it as a show of good faith. We have a looming CBA negotiation. And let's have the right tone. Let's have the right partnership as we embark on that challenge.
So this is going to be the topic, though, until something happens. Every game that goes on, we're back to let's check the sidelines before the games because that's the storyline.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, that's until it's fixed, right? The NFL made this mess until this mess is properly cleaned up. Now, we saw the NFL show up with a mop bucket full of even dirtier water in May, and they slopped the muddy water all over the place as they tried to fix it, right? They found a way to piss off everybody back in May, which is hard to do. I mean, it's hard to get everybody happy. It's even harder to find a way to make everybody upset, which is exactly what they did. And they need to get it done before the regular season. And look, they should have had it done before the start of the preseason. I don't know what they were thinking. They were thinking people weren't going to talk about it because the games don't count. So I think this renews the urgency to get together and get the deal done.
All right, let's talk about some of the good stories last night. Baker Mayfield, is there a chance, even though they've been saying Taylor's a starter, the Baker Mayfield crush for everybody was the lead story last night for on the field of those 12 games?
Well, I mean, here's the problem. Baker Mayfield looked good, but Tyrod Taylor was 5 for 5 for 99 yards and a touchdown. And so, you know, in 2012, when Russell Wilson came in as a third-round pick and became the starter for Seattle right out of the gates, people said, oh, Pete Carroll's brave, he's courageous, he's thinking outside the box. No, Pete Carroll is just in tune with his team, and everybody on the field knew that Russell Wilson was by far the best guy. Can Baker Mayfield emerge as by far the best guy, or will it be Baker looks great and Tyrod looks great, so nobody's going to really clamor for Baker Mayfield to be the starter? I just think the benefit that Baker has, number one, the pedigree, number one overall pick in the draft. Number two, he's got that intangible quality that draws people to him, that makes him a natural leader. And I know what I saw last night, like, it's exciting, and we all want to witness something significant, and I think we're all kind of at some level hoping that the Browns can not be horrible, as horrible as they've been in recent years. And I don't think Hugh Jackson should be the coach of the team. I mean, I'm done mincing words. The guy went 0-16. He's got no business coaching an NFL team, and I think that's part of the problem here. And I feel like he's just doing the opposite of last year when he threw DeShone Kizer into the mix. And I really hope that at some point they recognize Mayfield is their best option. Not necessarily to win the most number of games this year, but he's your guy long term. So get him ready now. Give him the chances now so he'll be even better in 2019, 2020, and beyond.
All right, let's stay on that Browns offensive side of the ball. What about Antonio Callaway? All this stuff off the field, but man, when he's on the field, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks really good, and that goes a long way toward getting you benefit of the doubt and getting the GM to say things like, I don't think he was smoking weed over the weekend, even though if he wasn't smoking weed, he was one of the only NFL players who wasn't smoking weed over the weekend. And I have no problem with it. I think they should be allowed to do it. I don't think any employer should care about what you do on your own time unless you're cheating in some way or violating the rights of another person, and it's not a PED, it's a recreational drug, and the NFL and the Browns shouldn't care. But because Callaway had a positive at the combine, because Callaway's had that history that dropped into the fourth round, there's that issue. But you know what? Hey, Dorsey 2 years ago, who did he find in round five? Tyreek Hill, a guy who had gotten into, like, strangle, maybe too strong of a word. But he had an issue with a pregnant girlfriend. It may have been strangle. I mean, he didn't kill her, but he assaulted her, choked her, I guess. Choke is the better term. That's horrible, yeah. Right? And it was it's amazing that it wasn't a bigger issue. But maybe if he had been drafted by a team in a bigger market, it would have been a bigger issue. But it's all kind of been forgiven and forgotten. And Tyreek Hill's gone on to become a great player. Well, what he did is far worse than anything Callaway's done. And Callaway can be the John Dorsey equivalent for Tyreek Hill. He found Hill in Kansas City, and he's got Callaway in Cleveland. And again, I don't want to make light of what Hill did. What Hill did was reprehensible. He's been fine since he's been in the NFL, and he's a great player, and we are a nation of second chances. But, you know, guys slide down the draft board because of the things they've done. John Dorsey, one of the GMs who is willing to take a chance on a guy who's done something he shouldn't have done in the past.
Well, the other story coming out is Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton in that video. I guess everybody's seen that 45 seconds. Apparently, we found out Cam Newton was a little upset about the comments made by Kelvin Benjamin about playing with Cam. But, boy, Cam jumped right up in him and wanted to talk about it and find out what was going on. Did that surprise you?
Oh, it did surprise me. And Cam Newton, he had that stance where he had his hands behind his back. And it wasn't like physically intimidating and threatening, but there was a quality to it. And here's the other thing, too. Those guys are both about the same size. This wasn't Cam Newton hovering over a midget like me. And I don't mean that term in a, you know, is that word even, I'm very careful about the words I
little
say
person.
Today, but a small person like me.
I've had trouble changing that one. That's one that's given me trouble.
Is that one? I mean, I try to be very, I never say the R word when talking about Washington. I try to be very sensitive to those things. I don't know that that's one that's on the wrong side of the line. And if it is, I apologize. But I mean, a small guy like me. I mean, Cam Newton is a giant. I don't think, is giant okay to say?
Giant's
he's
okay,
a giant.
As the resident big guy in the show, that's all right. Yeah.
I was at the Broncos Panthers week one game 2016, and Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin in pads, in helmets, in cleats are giants. So there's no intimidation factor there. That's my point. I loved it when he turned to Thomas Davis, who was kind of like, wanted to like chaperone, right? And he was like, "Hey, Thomas, go ahead. We're fine here." But it was a compelling moment, and I'd love to know the backstory as to whether they talked about it ahead of time. You know, did he try to text him, and was Kelvin Benjamin ignoring him? What led to that moment? But I think Cam Newton knew somebody would end up recording it, and I think he was doing it for the benefit of that camera. But, you know, I like the idea. If somebody's got a problem with me, let's hash it out. And Benjamin wanted nothing to do with it.
I got to tell you about this other story is nobody's talked about it. And we haven't talked about it this morning. And we thought it was going to be a big issue because we heard so much in everybody's camp. How was it? We didn't have a problem with the helmet-to-helmet last night. Did the league? Apparently, nobody's writing about it. It wasn't a big deal last night. Apparently, they didn't call it as much as everybody thought.
Well, there was one player who was ejected, Shamarco Thomas for the Colts.
Okay.
With the helmet-to-helmet hit. And I noticed something. We were showing a clip of the George Kittle injury in the 49ers-Cowboys game. He took a low hit. And if you watch that, Jeff Heath of the Cowboys came in and turned his body away at the last moment, protecting the helmet from striking the player. He still took out his knees and injured him, but he hit him with the shoulder pads and the top of his back. And it reminds me, I played baseball once upon a time, and it reminds me of the coaching point from the manager that if the ball is coming at you, you completely turn your body away from it. You take the bat and you get small and you don't let the ball hit the bat. And it felt like that kind of conscious effort to make sure the helmet in no way makes contact with the lower body of the player, because it's not just helmet to helmet anymore. If you hit anyone with your helmet, if you lower your head to initiate contact and you hit them anywhere, the leg, the knee, the pinky toe, it is a violation of the rule. And I saw that move from Jeff Heath and I thought, you know what? That may be the only way to coach how to properly make a tackle now. You have to turn your helmet and completely avoid striking your opponent with it. So maybe teams are adapting, and maybe we'll see more of that. We still may see more knee injuries, but maybe may see that maneuver more often.
Well, I was going to bring that up. So we're changing the helmet stuff, but if you do see more injuries in a different aspect, the knees, whatever it is, are we going to have to change a rule for that also now?
That'll be the next step. But here's the other thing. Look, the NFL doesn't care about ACL injuries. The NFL cares about head and neck injuries.
Right.
So if you're diving in low and you're taking the guy out, I mean, at some point, it really is going to be flag football, and I don't mean to engage in hyperbole here, or it's going to be sumo wrestling, where you're belly bumping and hoping you hit the guy hard enough that he falls down, that the strike zone applies to everyone, and you could make the argument there should be a strike zone, but the problem is, how do you execute a tackle if you can't accidentally hit a guy with your helmet as you're trying to go in and tackle him with your shoulder? And maybe we'll see that Jeff Heath maneuver, guys like aiming for the midsection. It'll be a guy who dives. Like, how can you like dive and you twist and you spin and you like reach your arms up over your head and you hope that maybe you can grab him and pull him down? I don't know. But if they're going to apply this helmet rule as it's written, and people are like, well, how are they going to apply this rule? Well, it's written pretty clearly. Why would they not apply it as it's written? If that's what they do, we're going to have to see some efforts by guys to avoid striking opponents with their helmets.
Hey, Mike, I want to find out if you agree with me on this one. The hot name over the next 3 weeks on a roster right now is going to be Teddy Bridgewater. What do you think?
Well, I know there's a lot of Dolphins fans that would love to get Teddy Bridgewater. Why do all the Dolphins fans hate Ryan Tannehill?
Oh.
I don't think it's hate. I think it's trust.
Trust. Well, it was injury, well, I mean, but it was production.
Mean, I don't mean that they personally hate him, but it's, I mean, it's year seven, right?
Yep.
And yeah, I say this all the time. You either have a franchise quarterback or you're looking for a franchise quarterback. And that subcategory is you have a guy that you're not quite sure whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, but you're willing to let it play out and see. Well, they've been willing to let it play out a little bit too long for the liking of Dolphins fans. And I think that's what we're, we're caught in. How much longer does he get? And I think he was great in 2016 before Calais Campbell came in with the low hit and tore up his knee. 606 days between games. I think that Teddy Bridgewater's name is going to continue to come up because there's doubts about Ryan Tannehill. And I think the ultimate irony would be Teddy Bridgewater is the guy who gets traded to a team who has a quarterback who suffers a Teddy Bridgewater injury at some point between now and the start of the regular season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're right, though. It used to be with Ryan. Now you got me going to Ryan Tannehill. It used to be with Ryan as a production. It's not there. He's not consistent enough. And now we hear, oh, he's injured the last 20 games. And so you're right. And, you know, he's not a guy. He doesn't say much. A lot of guys take it. Doesn't help. Jarvis Landry comes out and says stuff and all the other stuff. But anyway, hey, we're going to let you go, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on, man, and getting things going.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.